For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God, praise God. We're looking tonight at Have Faith in God as Healer. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in the name of Jesus and we commit our hearts to hear from you, Lord, from your word, by your spirit, and that as you show us through your word the things relating to healing and faith, Lord, we ask that it impacts on our hearts in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that every person here be abundantly blessed at the hearing of the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Tonight, we're looking at Have Faith in God as Healer. Have Faith in God as Healer. So let's have a look, first of all, at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and we want to go to a couple of verses here in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 19 and 20. Now, it's very interesting that the Lord talks about our bodies as being purchased. Our bodies have been purchased. And he also talks about us presenting our bodies as living sacrifices to him. Now, what's so interesting about that is that if our bodies have been purchased, then in God's eyes, he sees them as valuable and he sees them as something which, because he owns them, as something which to be used in the right way. Let's have a look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. It says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So let's have a look at this. First of all, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That makes it a very important thing in God's eyes. And notice it says, ye are not your own. Ye are not your own. This is important for us to understand that our bodies have been purchased by God. Verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price." And what was that price? But the blood of God himself, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." G-O-D apostrophe S tells us that our body, and we're looking particularly at the body tonight, our body is one of God's possessions. You're bought with a price. And so now, the way we view our body is very important. The actions that we have toward our body and with our body, and the way we think about it is very important. And if you think about it, the Lord Jesus Christ purchased healing for us. And that's healing body and soul. Okay, and obviously he paid the price for our spirits to be purchased. And we know that it's very important for us to see that if he purchased healing and health for our body, then he desires us to glorify him in that area as well. So this is why it's so very important for the teaching ministry around healing and health to be done in the churches today. If it's neglected, it's neglecting a very important way that God can be glorified in our body, which is that we can walk in divine health. We can walk as healed, strong people. And as we all know, the scripture that says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So you need to have that thinking along the lines of health, which is talking about above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. But you need to be thinking about health, thinking about that. Also have a look at Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Now this is something I've been doing very regularly, particularly over the last couple of years, and making that confession. And first of all, let me just read it out to you, and then I'll tell you what the confession is, and it's a good one to make. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So a good confession to say, perhaps when you get up in the morning, is, "Heavenly Father, I present my body as a living sacrifice to you today in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that it is my reasonable service to you." And when you do that, you are now consecrating your body to the Lord, and the Lord is able to do something with you. And he's seeing that you're seeing your body as something which has been bought with a price, and something which is not your own. You're not owning it. Okay, you're presenting it as a living sacrifice to God, and it's your reasonable service. We are servants of God. So it's important for us to see this. And of course, you know verse 2, because it talks about thinking in the right way, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So conformity to the world is all about not seeking God for your healing and health, and not looking to God for strength and so on. We don't want to be like that. We want to have an understanding of what the scriptures say and have faith in God as healer. So have a look at Mark 11, 21 and 22. And in the light of what I've just said about our bodies being purchased, and we are to present them as living sacrifices, we must have faith in God as healer. The Bible tells us, God says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." He says that in the book of Exodus. So, "I am the Lord that healeth thee" is a statement of who God is. Of who God is. And when we look at Mark 11, we see a command by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to take this to heart, a command by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shows us quite a few things in this chapter about faith. Looking at verses 21 and 22 of Mark 11, it says, "And Peter calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God." Now you may remember that there was a fig tree which had no fruit on it. The Lord Jesus Christ cursed it. If you had looked at it 1 second after it was cursed, it was still green. But the next day, okay, because it says in verse 20, "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." So something had happened in between the Lord Jesus Christ saying something to this, we'll say it, obstacle, saying something to it, and a period of time lapsed by, and it happened to the fig tree here, and Jesus relates it to having faith in God. Now we can relate it to our bodies as well, and this is important for us to see this. If you are lacking strength in your body, for example, what does the Bible say? "Let the weak," those who are currently weak, "say, I am strong. So what happens then? You might not feel, 1 second later after saying that, you may not feel strong. But what happens when you're constantly making this confession and saying, well, the Lord is my strength, the Lord is the strength of my life. I am strong in God. I am strong in Him. He is my strength and power. And we put that type of word into our mouth. God guarantees that what will happen is, if you're believing it in your heart, that things will start to change in your life. It's important to know what you believe. Okay? It's important to know what to believe. If you don't believe that God is your healer, okay, your personal healer, if you don't believe that, then you're not going to call Him your healer. You're not going to have faith in God as your healer either, are you? But God is saying that you need to get your mouth right. Of course, in your heart, you need to put the right things into your heart, making sure that there's no weeds and hardness in your heart as well. Putting the right things into your heart, and then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In fact, we should look at the scripture which talks about having a spirit of faith, because there's a couple of elements here we need to understand. We saw Jesus illustrated it by speaking to the fig tree. The physical result didn't happen 1 second later, although it could have. Okay, but most time it doesn't happen 1 second later. There's a period of time when you'll get the manifestation happening. And it's the same in prayer. When do you believe you receive your answer to prayer? The Bible says, when ye pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. So there's going to be a time between the praying, between the speaking, and between the and the manifestation itself. So having faith in God is taking God at His word and speaking and acting according to that. Let's look at what a spirit of faith is about. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. So if you believe that God is your healer, what's the basis of that? Well, you know that He purchased your body, okay? You know that He sees your body as an important thing in His sight. Otherwise, He wouldn't have bothered purchasing it, would He? No. He sees you being well and in health on the earth as important so that you can do His will on the earth. Okay, there's not many people who are lying flat on their backs, racked in pain and disease, out preaching the gospel. You see what I'm getting at? God wants us well and healed and strong in Him to be able to do what He wants us to do. Now, you may, as I said, you may not feel strong, but you've got to get your beliefs right and your speaking right with respect to having faith in God. So we're looking at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, because this talks about what a spirit of faith is all about. Obviously, those outside of Christ are not operating in this. All right. It says in verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak. So what are you believing? That's the first thing you should be examining in your heart. What am I believing? Do I really believe that God is my healer? Do I believe that it's God's will for me to be healed? Do I believe that God is my strength and power? If you're believing that and you've got it out of the scripture and all of the statements that I said you can get out of the scripture, do you believe that God healeth all your diseases? Okay. Obviously the doctors don't. They'll say, well, no one survived this particular disease, or a very low possibility of you getting over this, or this will result in such and such. Well, what do we say? Okay, that's what they have said. That's what they have said. And in the natural, that's fine, because they are limited. But God is not limited. And if we take his word and we start to say, I am strong in him, I am healed, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, and Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, and I thank you, Lord, that you are my healer. All of this, and I thank you, Lord, that you healeth all my diseases. Now, you may not see that, you may not feel that, but if you believe it and start to speak that, and that's what the spirit of faith is all about, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. So on the basis of what you're believing. So what you're believing is very important. And I encourage people to be listening to good quality sermons and reading good quality books around this area and getting into the Word of God so that your faith can be boosted up, so that you can grow in this area, and so that you can start to believe and then speak the right way. And as we saw before, if you have faith in God, when you speak, there's going to come results in line with that as well. So it's very important to know what to believe. Let's have a look at 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. Now, the Lord says a lot about faith. We just read about the spirit of faith. We also read, have faith in God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ would never have said or commanded, have faith in God, if it wasn't possible to have faith in God. Can you see what I'm saying there? If it's not possible to have faith in God, then why would he say, have faith in God? You know, we've all been given the measure of faith. The Bible is very clear about that. We've given the measure of faith, but what we do with it is so very important. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Now that last bit of that verse is very important. The charity, that's love in action, of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And what do we know about faith? Faith worketh by love, doesn't it? If you're full of unforgiveness or have unforgiveness against your brother or sister, or you're not acting in love, your faith is not going to be growing exceedingly. But God wants your faith to grow. Okay, he's given you a spirit of faith. You've been born again. He's given you a spirit of faith so that you can start to believe the word and put into action the word by speaking it and acting upon it. He wants all of our faith, all of us, to have faith which groweth exceedingly. And of course, one evidence of that is that charity is also abounding as well. So charity, note what charity is about, love in action. Charity is not about just thinking about yourself all the time. Charity is central on loving your neighbour as yourself and loving God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your soul. So we must be people that are walking in love every day and allowing ourselves to be operating in that and growing in faith. Have faith in God links to what are we believing? What are we believing? How are we acting? What are we doing with respect to getting our faith in line with what God says it's about? If you look at Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, if you're a person of faith, you'd be looking seriously at Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. I just recently visited a man who had just been operated on as a Christian. He'd been operated on and had a brain tumour taken out of his brain. But I brought him to this particular psalm, Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. And I said, "Do you believe this?" And I preached to him the word and taught him the word for about 3/4 of an hour before praying over him. Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. What do you believe? Because have faith in God is obviously related to having a spirit of faith that is operating correctly so that you can grow in faith. So Psalm 103, starting from verse 1, we'll go to verse 5. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." So is your soul involved? Bless the Lord, O my soul. You've got to talk to your soul, don't you? Your mind, will, and emotions. "And all that is within me, bless his holy name." Well, he calls himself the God, the Lord that healeth thee. Okay? He heals you. He's the healer. He's your healer. Verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Remember that scripture in 3 John 2? "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." How can your soul be prospering if you're forgetting his benefits? Okay? So what do you have to do? You have to bless the Lord, O my soul, speak to your soul, and forget, that's a function of the mind, isn't it? Forget not all his benefits. How do you do that? Well, you've got to get into the word. You've got to be a word person. You've got to get into the word and say, what's the Lord talking about with respect to healing and strength and my body and health and so on? What's the Lord say? Is there a doctrine that I need to know about it? Well, clearly there is a health and healing doctrine. Okay? There really is a doctrine around God being the healer. We teach it here. You're hearing some of it tonight. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not some of his benefits, and forget not all his benefits. God wants you to remember his benefits. And he goes, notice at the end there, there's a colon after benefits, which means we're going to list the benefits. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Well, if God forgives you, you need to forgive others. Remember that. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Well, is healing one of God's benefits? It is, isn't it? It's one of God's benefits. So we need to remember that. We need to be saying, "I believe this. I believe this. I believe that he healeth all my diseases." Okay? Even if you're in the midst of a disease, you don't say, "Well, the Lord has forsaken me." No, no. You get your heart right before him. If you haven't been walking in love, you repent of that, get your heart right. And then you say, "Lord, I believe, according to your word, that one of your benefits is that you heal all my diseases. And I ask, Lord, that that be manifested in my body, which has been purchased with a price anyway. And I'm going to glorify you in my body by receiving that healing that's been paid for, that benefit of being healed of all my diseases." Notice what it says in verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Well, is sickness, disease, and infirmity destruction? Well, it is, isn't it? It's not hard to know that. You only have to look at people who are in the midst of sickness, infirmity, and disease, and you can see it's a very destructive thing. But God says, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." So redemption is one of the benefits, isn't it? Have faith in God as healer means you have faith that he has provided these benefits for you as a redeemed person. Does the New Testament talk about redemption at all? Well, yes, it does. You know, we know Galatians 3 talks about Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Okay? He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if you do a bit of investigation about what the curse of the law is about, you can look in, for example, Deuteronomy 28 and see that it covers all plagues and sicknesses and diseases as being part of that curse. So we've been redeemed. Our life has been redeemed from destruction. Is that what you believe? If you believe it, what's the spirit of faith do? I believe that I am redeemed. My life is redeemed from destruction. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus from the curse of the law. So what do? You believe it and you speak it and you thank God for it. This is important. This is important, very important. That's what it says there, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Well, that's that health and prosperity that 3 John 2 talks about. Loving kindness and tender mercies. You remember the lepers crying out to Christ and the blind men crying out to Christ to have mercy upon them. And what was that mercy? That they be healed. So healing must be one of God's mercies that he gives to his people. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let me give you a testimony. This happened to me about, it's going on 3 years ago now. I went to a dentist, and it wasn't a woman that I normally have. And she mentioned, and she said, oh, have you got, and she mentioned a particular infirmity. Is that what you do at night? I said, no, I don't. But do you know that word that she spoke about that particular infirmity latched into my thinking for a time, okay, for a time. And I started to feel right around my, this is no coincidence, started to feel right around my mouth like a band. Like a band. And it was like something that was tightening around my mouth. And this was directly after I'd gone to this dentist and she'd talked about this, and I, the devil tricked me into meditating on what she had said rather than meditating on the word of God. And then the Lord took me to this scripture, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. And I'd always thought, well, that's just talking about what you eat. But he said, no. And this is what he said to me. And so what I did is I took what he said in line with this scripture, said, I believe what you're saying, and I started to speak it. Okay, and I'll tell you what the result was when I did that. So the Lord said, I satisfy your mouth with good teeth, good gums, good jaws, good tongue, good muscles. And so I said, Lord, I receive that in Jesus' name. And I started to cast down that thought, which had come from what that dentist had said, and the devil used it. I cast down that and I started to say, thank you, Lord. You satisfy my mouth with good things, good teeth, good gums, good jaws, good tongue, good muscles. Within a week, it had all passed. The whole thing, it didn't pass straight away, but it started to go down in terms of the intensity of it, and now it's nothing of it. In fact, I do have, as it says there, good teeth, good gums, etc. But you've got to take, and I'm just giving that as an illustration, as a testimony, so you understand how to apply the scripture using the spirit of faith. You take the word, you believe it, and you start to speak it, whether you feel like it or not. And it's very important for us. And notice what it says in verse 3, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let me talk to those who are going into your old age, start to say, Lord, you're renewing my youth like the eagles. Okay? It's a good thing to say. Well, believe it. God is renewing our youth like the eagles. Praise God. So we can see there's many benefits that we're not to forget about, and the Lord will show us things and bring things out and show us how to have faith in him as healer. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. Let's look at Matthew 8 verses 1 to 13. Matthew 8. This is an example of someone who had great faith. And so let's have a look at what he did. Matthew 8. What did he do? We'll start from verse 1 and we'll go to verse 13. And basically, what this man did is what you can do at whatever level of faith you're at now. Okay, because if you're a Christian, you've got the measure of faith. It's already been deposited in your spirit. Now you have to operate along the lines of having that spirit of faith that the Lord has shown us. We believe and therefore speak. Okay, so it matters what you believe. Starting from verse 1 of Matthew 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So there's the, is it God's will for people to be healed? That is answered there. Verse 4, and Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Okay, so what's the situation here? Centurion, who is a Roman military man, acknowledged that he should come to Jesus. So he came to Jesus, didn't he? And he said, this is the situation. My servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now here's a real key. Did he have faith in the word of Jesus? Mm-hmm. He did, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Did he believe? What did he believe? Did he believe that if Jesus spoke the word, that his servant would be healed? He did, didn't he? Okay, so it does matter what you believe. Verse 9, it says, For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. So what's he acknowledging about Jesus? He has authority. His word has authority, has power. Okay, he's acknowledging authority. He understands that Jesus, the word of Jesus mattered, okay, and could accomplish things. All right, and there are many parallels in the natural that are exactly like this, where we see something happening in the natural, but in the spiritual, very similarly, it's happening like that. And here we see, if Jesus spoke the word, he was happy and believed that that's exactly what would happen. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, we could go into those scriptures and what they mean, but we're not going to tonight. Verse 13 is what we want to look at. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast what?
Believed,
so be it, as so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. So it doesn't matter what you believe. So when Jesus says have faith in God, okay, you must believe. You must be believing something about God. You must be believing that his word has power, as I've talked about tonight, and that if you get it into your heart and start speaking it. And so we understand that the word of God says many things about healing, many things. For example, in Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Do we believe that? Do we believe that it is the will of God for me to be healed, for you to be healed? You know, there's another scripture, and we'll finish with this one in Mark 16. Mark 16. Because what we can do tonight is you can say, well, I've heard the word preached, and I believe the word preached, and I know that on the basis of scripture, basis of this scripture, Mark 16, and we'll just look at, well, first of all, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe, just that first part there. So notice the word believe, okay? So whoever is doing the laying on of hands and praying must be a believer, okay? A believer. And then it says, in verse 18, the last part, and this is the believers, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What can you believe about that? Well, you can believe that when I have hands laid on me, I will receive my healing, and my recovery starts from then. Can you see what I'm saying? You may not see a result 1 second later, although that can happen. In fact, a lot of healings in the ministry of Jesus were there was a period of time before the manifestation came. Okay, so it's very important that when you have hands laid on you for healing, you don't 1 second later or 1 hour later or even 1 day later say, oh, I've received nothing. No, you say, I've received my healing on the basis of this scripture and many others, that God is the God that healeth thee, and he uses believers as instruments. That's one part. We can pray and believe for healing, obviously, and that's what we're doing. And we say, well, I'm recovering. You know, there's ways to receive your healing. There's ways to receive your healing. This is one way to receive it. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. It is so clear to us. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is so precious to us. And Lord, I pray that every person here who has believed your word, there would be a faith come and arise, even supernaturally in our hearts, to believe that God, you, Lord, are at work as a healing God. We have faith in you, Lord, as a healing God, as the healer. We praise you, Lord, for that. Heavenly Father, bless every person here abundantly In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And just as we're here tonight, you've heard the word, you may have had things in the past that you found difficulty in believing for, but you know, God wants us to approach this as a little child, believing his word in simplicity, and to say, Lord, I believe, and I'm going to respond in that belief.